It is not Mother's Day, but this message could be a Mother's Day message. I want to add on last Sunday's message, because I did speak of the woman and her value. I was able to visit my mother, and I was once again reminded of her great influence that she had on my life. Let us read chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, please? And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "Wow." And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Sister Debbie, would you ask God's blessings on the preaching this morning, please?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and hear your word spoken and ministered to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that we would prepare our hearts to be the fallow ground, Lord, to accept the word as it falls to us, and anoint this message in Jesus' name.
You may be seated. There are those that would lead us to believe that when God made woman, it was like an afterthought of God. There are those who would lead us to believe that God created everything and was displeased because there was something he forgot to create, something he didn't do exactly properly. So in order to correct the mistake, he created woman. And there she was, thrown in as creation's bonus on the side, sort of maybe an afterthought of God. We know that is not true. Do you know that woman is the ultimate creation of God? She was an independent creature, and by the way, she could have lived alone. The Bible never says it is not good for a woman to be alone. The Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. And be reminded that man was created before woman in God's divine order. He increased the importance and magnitude of creation with the passing of days. Each thing he created seemed to be of greater value than that before. Somebody said, "Oh, but man is more important than woman because God created man first." If you're going to use that logic, then apply it to all creation. And the hippopotamus is more important than man because he created the hippopotamus before man. No, God did not create that which was most important first and least important last. But creation kept gaining in its importance as God created the earth, the moon, the stars, then animal life, and then man, and then woman. She was the last of God's preachers, and of course, the most complete. She was the loftiest of all of God's creatures, and she was not created to rule the world, but she rules those that do rule the world. And I desire us, and every lady here today, to see your importance in the light of Scripture. And so let me start from the beginning. Most ladies that I know are down on themselves. And I pray that this message will help you to overcome beating yourself up in a way that the Lord would not have you beat yourself up. Let me say, the Lord himself chose to compare the family to the Trinity. And in doing so, he called the head of the family, the man or the father, after his own name, Father. In fact, we're taught to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. And then he likened the son or children in the family to his own son, the second named person in the Trinity. And hence we have in the family a person who represents God the Father, and we have a person in the family who represents God the Son. And by process of elimination, we come to realize who represents the Holy Spirit, and that is the woman. There is only one person left, and that's the lady. That means you. So allow me to minister today with this thought in mind, that the woman, the wife, the mother, represents the Holy Spirit. And I thought you were coming up because I had this thing wrong, but okay. And if you ladies would like to find purpose in your life and in your duties wherein you will find fulfillment, then just find in the Bible what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Number one, we know that he comforts, so does mother. We know that he encourages, so does mother. We know he teaches. Last week I ministered on Jesus in John 14, said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach. We know that mother does. When you read in Proverbs about the virtuous woman, it says she opens her mouth with wisdom. We know that the Holy Spirit instructs, so does mother. We know that the Holy Spirit leads, so does mother. We know that the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove, one that is gentle, one that is kind, so is mother. The Bible says this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now when you think of all the ministries the Holy Spirit has in the world, or in the church, he is the unseen one. Remember, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, so is mother. The Holy Spirit, he is the one who gives others attention, and so does mother. There's a reason why many of the women in the Bible are nameless. We don't know the name of the Shunammite woman. We don't know the name of the maid that pointed Naaman to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. We don't know the name of the widow with the two mites. We don't know the name of the widow of Zarephath and many others in the Bible, and is such a type of the Holy Spirit who doesn't bring attention to himself. And if you want to know what your role is or duties in the family and in life, all you have to do is find out the duties of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. For you, and I say this in all due respect, are the Holy Spirit of the home. And I will bring this out a little more later in the message. But when we look at the week of creation as it began, first came the light. After the light, God made the firmament. Then God lit the starry host of the nighttime in their constellations. Then God made the fishes of the sea, and then all the tribes of the animal kingdom. Now creation's week is almost finished, and all is prepared for God to make man. And God did make man after his own image, and so is woman made after his image, because man is made after his image. But then, do you remember what happened? God had Adam name every animal that God brought by. And no doubt, as I was reading and going over this at my mother's, I began to meditate on something that I never thought of before. I don't imagine I'm the first to ever think about it, but I thought, wow. As Adam is naming the animals that went by, there had to be a male and a female of the animals that went by. He had to look and see deer, but then there's buck and doe, and here comes a rooster and a hen. And I bet Adam started thinking, huh. Now everything was, as the Bible says, was good. And in this Garden of Eden, this wonderful place, there was no guilt. There was no profanity. The wind never chilled. There was nothing wrong. There was no withering frost to chill the rose. There was no shadow of worry. And for Adam, there were birds to sing and make lovely music. Man, or Adam, had everything he would need, it seemed, in this Edenic bliss. And yet, something was missing. I believe before Adam could figure it out, Adam needed someone to share with him these beautiful things in the garden. Adam needed someone to whom he could say, wow, look at those stars. Look at that Big Dipper. Look at that Small Dipper. Look at that falling star coming across. And Adam needed someone to share the joys of the garden. He longed for communion with a kindred soul, and one whose wants and joys would be like his own. Adam needed somebody, and God knew it is not good that man should be alone, and God put Adam to sleep. I wondered when I meditated on that, what he dreamed, if he did. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him, Adam, did you dream when God put you to sleep? And God made Eve. We know that God made her and took a rib, and we'll deal with that a little bit later, out of his side. And here is Eve. She comes all dressed in all of the beauty that a human could possibly possess. And I bet when Adam woke up and looked at her, he said, wow! You women should have said amen. It was that famous world-known poet named Milton that said of Eve, she was adorned with all of heaven and earth that they could bestow upon her to make her amiable. When you look at Eve, God's finest creation, grace was in her step, heaven was in her eye, and every gesture she possessed was dignity and poise and love, and perfection was stamped on her. I'm sure that the sons of God shouted for joy, and the morning stars sang together, and the Garden of Eden was transformed. Now Adam has what he needs to complete him. It has often been brought out at weddings, these thoughts. Notice, woman was not taken from man's head to lord over him, nor from his heel to be crushed by him, but this was this magnificent creation by omnipotence and the omniscience and the all-powerful God, and he took a rib from man near his heart so she could be loved and protected by him. And it's brought out that it was not taken from his heel to be crushed by him. And when this lady, this beautiful woman Eve, came on the scene, I'm sure that everything in the garden took on a new dimension and took on a new look of appreciation. I'll bet now that Adam has Eve to share this garden with, that now the wind seemed to be more refreshing than it had been before. It seemed that now when the birds sang, I have a feeling that Adam said to Eve, boy, before you came along, I didn't quite notice how beautiful they sang, but with you here, Eve, they sing so much more beautiful. And I can see Adam put his arm around Eve and say, look up at that moon. My goodness, before you came, it didn't shine as bright as it did, but since you're here, it shines so much more. And in fact, the animals, Eve, since you've come, they seem to be treating me nicer. But there stands Eve, Miss America. Well, not really, America hadn't come on the scene yet, so we'll say Miss Universe. And she was created because all of the perfection of the Garden of Eden did not give Adam what he needed. But with Eve, it made him complete. I want you to see that Eve is wrapped with all of the great virtues that woman had. And we would see these virtues come out of her in time with great ladies in the future. There in Eve stands the beauty of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. There in Eve stands and has the courage of Deborah as she stood beside Barak in the battle against the enemy. There she is with the depth of Hannah and a prayer ability as Hannah prayed over her child. Eve has the devotion of Rizpah as she fought off the enemies that would come and take her dead children off of the rocks. She has the royalty of Esther as she stood before the king and spared the nation. In Eve, she has the grace of Lydia. She has the poise of Mary and the care of Martha and the praise and the worship of Mary Magdalene. She had all of these virtues wrapped up in Eve. There she stands, Miss Universe, with the patience of Anna, with the loveliness of Rachel, with the love of Jochebed and the gentleness of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. She has the spirit of Lois, the mother of Timothy, who taught him greatly. In Eve were wrapped up all these virtues and personalities that every woman ought to strive to have. That's the Lord saying amen. No wonder that within that garden there were two angels that would protect this wonderful home inside where love and joy and peace prevailed. Who could have ever thought that at this magnificent, incredible creation of God that evil could find an entrance? You see, in the loveliness of this woman is also the potential for ugliness. In her joy is the potential for sadness. In her grace is the potential for selfishness. In her humility is the potential for pride. In her submission is the potential for rebellion. And in her faith is the potential for doubt. And though she's lovely and has all these good qualities that all the women in the Bible had down the road, there is another potential that she possesses. Eve bears within herself a Sarah that is committed to her Abraham, but she also has the potential of a Michael who despised her husband because one day David decided to shout and get happy as the Ark of the Covenant was coming back to God's people. Yes, Eve has the potential to be a great loyalty to her husband and Abigail, but she also has the potential to have a spirit of Jezebel who fell and took a nation with her. It's difficult to imagine that this beautiful queen in the Garden of Eden, the one who was God's finest creation, could possess within her breast the hatred of a Herodias who would say, bring me the head of John the Baptist on a plate because he dared say something evil against me. And yet she had the potential within her to have the loyalty and the affection of a Naomi for Ruth, whose feet would take her to the land of Moab. It's hard to believe that in those lips of Eve that were lips of kindness also had the potential to lie, as did Sapphira in the book of Acts, as she lies to the Holy Ghost. Both virtues are there. Let me just say, in all due respect, ladies, it is up to you, as it was to Eve. You decide there within your breast all the possibilities that can come forth from you, either good or bad. Now, this I have learned in my life. Whether it be good or bad, there is one thing that woman always does. She determines the spirit and the atmosphere of any place where she is present. Within her, she has the greater influence in the atmosphere of anyone else. I'm not saying that the man and the children do not, but she has the greatest. I have learned this. Women, please do not underestimate your abilities. Woman can make Eden a paradise if she chooses, or it can be cursed, everything in it. And ladies, sometimes I pray God would open your understanding today. I don't think you understand completely how wonderful you are and how the atmosphere is determined largely by you. Woman, because a woman's spirit determines the tranquility of the home, she determines her spirit, largely the spirit of the office, the unity of the church, more than others. I'm not to say that men and others don't have an influence on the atmosphere, but I saw this growing up in my own home, that my mother's attitude affected the atmosphere of the home more than anyone else. In fact, I was just thinking this morning, the church took off with a great revival in the book of Acts. But do you remember what halted it? It was the widows who had been neglected. Now, I'm not saying the widows were complaining, but the widows were greatly affected, to whereby it affected the ministers. And here's the ministers trying to minister to the widows because they're affected by women. My wife knows, and she was taught, as many preachers' wives are, that a day before I preach, don't come to me with things that are really bothering you or your dad. We do that Monday because it has a great effect upon me. My Lord, if I think my wife's mad at me, How many men know what I'm talking about? Oh, I didn't think I'd get a lot here. You got your wife sitting next to you, you're dreaming. The little song is true. Sometimes I'm happy and sometimes I'm blue, but my disposition depends on you. Anytime a woman is present, she determines the spirit and the atmosphere many times more than does the man. Even though she is not the head, she is the neck that determines which way the head looks. Though she is not the arm, she is the fuel that gives it strength. Though she is not the strong cedar of Lebanon, man's role, she is the myrrh that makes fragrant the atmosphere. I knew that my wife was not going to be able to be here today, and I said, honey, I want to bounce something off of you, and you tell me if you think this is true. And I shared with her how a woman's spirit determines the atmosphere. She says, oh, definitely. You got to know it's from God now. And I said, really? She said, yes. She said, I knew as a child when I came home, my mother, if she was in bed or sick or upset, it affected me greatly. Not to say that it didn't, or if my father or brother or sister or sibling was. Woman is the flower on the communion table. She's the honey at the banquet table. She is the Holy Spirit of the unseen power. Now, man worked before woman came, but man worked harder after she came. Man ran before she came, but man ran faster after she came. Man jumped before she came, but man jumped, I know what you're thinking, man jumped higher after she came. Man was good before she came, but man became complete after she was made from Adam. Do you know the word helpmeet means to complete, means completer? And God said, I will make a completer for man. It's as though here is a circle not totally all the way around. But when woman came to him, it completed the circle. She completes him. Women, you are very important to us. Again, God made woman his final creation. And God said, I want that woman to go to man, and I want her to complete him. And man will not be complete until he has her and they both become one. And thus each find fulfillment and purpose. He finds fulfillment by honoring and loving her, and she finds fulfillment by submitting to him and honoring him. And permit me to tell a story that I told here a couple of years ago, but it will help us and be a window that will open up for this sermon. It is a true story. Years ago, a little lady named Ina Dooley Ogden was given by God a very beautiful voice. And because of that, her talent became recognized, she became known, and she was asked to sing a concert and a tour around the world. She was looking forward to that day to glorify her Lord. She had anticipated the day when she could cover the globe and carry the bright light of Christ through her voice. She had already signed a contract. The date had been set for her journey to begin. And just days before her departure, she found that her father became seriously ill. No one else could care for him, though she tried. And because of that, she knew she would need to herself. And with some bitterness and much disappointment, she canceled her worldwide trip, and she was unable to sing the praises to her Lord and shine his light around the world. Ina Ogden looked at her aged father and saw him as he was nearing death, and she realized that she could not take her trip. And yet, in that moment, as she began to seek the Lord, her bitterness and resentment over what had happened out of her control turned to great joy, because she sat down and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, she began to write a song, and you'll remember it, Brighten the Corner Where You Are, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Someone far from harbor, you may help come across the bar. I added the words that brighten the corner where you are. And that song became famous and became the song that Billy Sunday and many other evangelists were using in their crusades across the country. And the point was, is be the best you can where you are. And she realized that though I can't do that, I can brighten the corner where I'm at, and that she did. And what the soloist could not do with her journey, she did with her sweet spirit as it went from her heart and mind to her pen, and from her pen to the paper, and from the paper to the hymn book, and from the hymn book to the whole world. And not just in her lifetime did she brighten the world, but as long as they sang that song and as long as people remember it, they are being administered to by it. And let me say, that is everyone's job, but in light of the message, lady, that is your job. Brighten your corner. The atmosphere of the office is determined more by the spirit of the secretaries than of the bosses. The atmosphere of the home is determined more by the mother and the wife than by the children and the father. Man looks to you, woman, to see what kind of mood you're in. Your husband comes home and the first thing he wants to know, what mood is my wife in? Well, it's quiet in here. His evening is brightened or it is saddened according to your mood. Why is that so? Because I'm not saying man doesn't have an effect upon the atmosphere of the home. I'm saying the wife does, the lady does, you do, because remember, you are the Holy Spirit of the home. Do you know that God has made it so that your spirit can overwhelm the spirit of a man? Isn't it amazing in Proverbs, I believe it's either 21, where it, here's Solomon, the most powerful man in the world. His kingdom is greater than any. And yet Solomon says, it's better to be in the wilderness than with a woman who's all upset. And it also says in Proverbs, a woman can destroy her household by her mood. Another place Solomon said, it's better to be in a corner of a small house than in a mansion with a woman that is angry. I think you men are afraid to say amen. You women are, huh? And I don't say that in any way to put down. I say that to let you know that God has gifted you with an amazing ability and made you use that ability for good. As much as the church depends on the Holy Spirit for an atmosphere, so does the home depend upon the woman. Ladies, you are very important. I want you to know that the next time you are prone to think, I'm not very important. Nobody appreciates me. I want you to remember that you are the one in the family that typifies the one in the Trinity, and nobody really probably appreciates the Holy Spirit either, only because of the nature of its ministry. It doesn't speak of itself. But oh, how we need the Holy Spirit in the church. Wouldn't you all agree we need the Holy Spirit in the church and for His sweetness to come and for His presence to come? And ladies, likewise, let me tell you, we can't do it without you. I know you're behind the scenes, but I remember saying to my mother this last week, Mother, I want you to know I am so grateful for you, because when I needed comfort, you were the one that I went to, Mother, and you are so important. Remember, you are the one in the family that typifies the one in the Trinity. Ladies, I realize your job may be unseen, just like the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of Himself. But I say this in all honesty, we couldn't do it without you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, and so are our moms and our ladies. Ladies, take your Bible, look at the term Holy Spirit, and find all He does. And then, with the help of God, resolve that you're going to do what He does. Go alone somewhere and bow your head, and with the help of God, lift your heart to God and say, oh God, I'm so thankful that You made me in the image of God the Father and God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that your children symbolizes God the Son, and I'm glad that God the Father symbolizes Him. But I want you to recognize that You've made me, woman, something that the earth had to have. Something that the garden and paradise could not be complete without. You cannot be replaced. Something that could not be satisfied with anything in the garden. The coolness of the day, as wonderful as it was, didn't make Adam complete. In spite of all of his giftings and of his abilities to name the animals, and the taste of the fruit and the fragrance of the flowers and the beautiful thing of everything in the garden did not make Adam complete. The earth had to have you, lady, just as the church has to have the Holy Spirit. May God help you say from your heart, I'm going to be satisfied with my lot in life. I'm glad You made me a woman in the image of the Holy Spirit. And I will yield myself to promise you that everywhere I go, I'm going to try to sweeten up the atmosphere where you put me. You have the ability to make the flowers smell greater. You have the ability with your attitude and your great giftings to make everything so much nicer. Every lady carries, in closing, with her two dispensers. One dispenser is filled with the most marvelous fragrance, and one is filled with bad odor. You have the potential for making everything sweet or foul. You have both in your personality. There she is, Eve, Miss Universe. She stands with power enough to complete the perfection in the Garden of Eden, or to let the serpent find his way into her heart and destroy and curse all that is within the garden. I say this, ladies, we need you. We appreciate you. I tell my wife, I am not the man without you. I'm not complete without you. I say to my mother, I rise up and I call her blessed as I watched her fulfill her purpose in God by being the woman. And I am so grateful for every lady. And I don't want you to be down on yourself. I want you to realize how important you are. Would you stand? Ladies, you are the mood determiner. You are the atmosphere determiner. You are the Holy Spirit of the family. No one can comfort like a lady. In her are the words of kindness. Let us pray. Father, this message has been years to study and learn in the making. But I do pray, O Father, that you would let each woman know how important she is. I pray the Holy Spirit encourage her, lift her up, and we thank you, Father, for giving us the woman to complete us. And I pray, Lord, you bless every woman, that all of us can rise up and call her blessed, and may we recognize these principles in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.